This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to Manifestation Therapy, your trusted source for wisdom on the universal principles and the transformative magic integrating manifestation with the people that you support. I'm your host, Judy, and I'm thrilled to embark on this enlightening journey with you. In every episode, we'll unravel the timeless secrets of the universe, explore the art of conscious creation, and dive deep into manifestation therapy's incredible potential. Whether you're a seasoned practitioner or just starting your quest for a more abundant and fulfilling life for yourself and your clients, this podcast will support your growth, inspiration, and empowerment. So let's ignite the power within, align our thoughts with the energy we desire, and be our best potential. Welcome to Manifestation Therapy's podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Manifestation Therapy, the podcast that bridges the realms of self-discovery and the universal laws. Manifestation therapy is a modality that I've integrated into all the other modalities that I use with my clients, and that's what this podcast is dedicated to. Today is all about me, your host, Judy, and I'm delighted to have you join us. I want to lead with the fact that this is probably the ninth time I've tried to record this episode because it's not only very difficult for me to talk about myself, but it's difficult for me to go over the complex trauma and the layers of trauma that I have had without making it sound like a pitiful, poor me. And I guess I'm judging myself because I really don't want to come across that way. I'm trying to focus on the positives, the way that I found my meaning and purpose through that trauma, and the way that I use it to work with clients today. So I'm going to try to tell my story in a way that puts it in a positive light as opposed to going over every little detail of every trauma, which I probably couldn't do anyway because half the time I find that even I forget things that happened to me. So adverse childhood experiences, I hope everyone out there that is a supportive professional knows about these, but basically it's a definition or an identification of various things that can happen in childhood that are known to affect attachment and growth and development and basically who you become. So, you know, like trauma changes who we are, these adverse childhood experiences change who we could be. And I had almost all of them on the lists that are out there. However, I grew up in a home, in a family that to the outside world seemed like the ideal North American family. We were middle class, mom and dad. I have a brother, an older brother. We were close to our external family to the point that my two cousins, my younger cousins, are my brothers. I consider them brothers. The undercurrent of all that is that both of my parents came from large families. Actually, they both had the same amount of siblings, although one sibling was hidden, but they had the same amount of siblings and identical traumas. Both families, my grandparents, my grandfathers in both sides were sexually abusive to their children. Physically, not so much, but mentally and verbally, definitely abusive as well to their children. In both sides of my family, my parents are the ones that said that it didn't happen to them. My mom, however, witnessed it, like happening right in front of her, and my father knew what was happening. My father became the hero of his family. He was one of the older ones, and he took care of his siblings. He took care of my grandmother. He excelled in like every sport. He excelled in positions in his job, and he helped actually get most of my male families into working for Hydro. So that was interesting. My mother always wanted to get the hell out of Dodge. So my mom married young to escape the, the stigma of her family. Her family didn't have a lot of money. They struggled a lot, and she moved away as fast as she could. And she got away from, I don't know if she would be considered the hero, but she definitely got away from her family instead of remaining in like the trauma that was happening with them, the lifestyle that they all lived. She married my dad after divorcing her first husband, who was a pretty toxic relationship, and they moved even further away. Now, my brother was born prematurely, so that was one trauma in my family before I came. And then my mother had such a difficult time with him as an infant. I mean, having a premature child myself, it's pretty difficult, and it would have been even more difficult back then. She didn't want any further children. Back then, you had to actually get your husband to agree that you could tie your tubes to avoid having further children. So they were about to, but they found out that she was pregnant with me. And hearing that story as a kid, I remember feeling, oh, so I wasn't really wanted, which isn't true at all, but that's the mentality that kind of sat in my developing brain. And then when I was about, I guess, 18 months or 2 years old, we had my great aunt come and live with us. My great aunt had multiple mental health challenges. They were in a family of 13, which is also interesting because both of my grandmothers came from families where there was 13 siblings. Just as a side note, that's really kind of weird, right? Anyway, my great aunt was abusive towards me and towards my brother in different ways. With me, it was sexual abuse. With my brother, it was verbal and emotional abuse, probably so that he would keep her dirty little secrets. So in kindergarten, I was a selective mutant, and I've been told that the kindergarten teacher was even concerned there was something wrong with me, in quotes, and had talked to my mom and dad. I don't remember any of this. Well, I do remember some of it, but I don't remember the selective mutism at all. I just know that talking and verbalizing and asking for things was always very difficult for me. And it's something I've worked in my adulthood as well. But the lessons from that are that we don't know people's stories. We don't know what's happening behind closed doors. And we can't necessarily put all the stigma on men as the perpetrator, right? So I've always understood that. Now, I also know that I repressed all those memories of that it was happening to me. And yet at the same time, my child brain kind of believed that everybody knew, because I don't want to get into that, but when my father passed away, my aunt was sent away. My mom couldn't stand her, even though it was her aunt. And we moved closer to my father's side of the family. And those brothers that I mentioned earlier, my cousins, lived right up the road from us. So we had this kind of deep connection with my uncle and his wife and their kids. And I was able to go to my grandmother's almost every weekend of my childhood. So I became very close with my grandmother, which losing my father was a major impact in my life. And it continued to be an impact in my life through my teenage years and into my adulthood, because I heard all these stories about what a hero he was. I knew that he loved me and would have kept me safe if he could. And he became sort of this spiritual guardian angel to me. So I was really connected to the other side, right? So my spiritual awareness of a connection to energy as other people, other beings, was always kind of there. And I think that's kind of what got me into like New Age woo-woo stuff as a teenager. So that was a very positive side effect of a very negative situation. So my mom was a single mom, but she was very different than, you know, the stigmatized single mother that's struggling financially, because she had pension from my father. We had a nice house. We had a pool. We had a satellite dish. I don't know if anyone remembers those, but we had everything we needed. And from that, I learned that I didn't have to have a sense of lack. So I was blessed to have everything, in like food in the fridge, clothes on my back, clothes I wanted that didn't necessarily need. I had all the toys I wanted. I had books. We had mini vacations. So there was not a deep sense of lack or struggle financially. And I'm so glad that I had that, because it's so much easier to connect with abundance once I knew what it was. And I never struggled in my teen years or even in my 20s when I was off on my own doing all these high-risk behaviors. I always knew I was going to be taken care of with food, with shelter, and with money. And when I would run out, more would just come. And I never had to kind of... I asked for help sometimes when I needed it, but I never had to feel like I was going to lose or like there was going to be nothing. And I'm so grateful for that. And we moved again when I was in about grade 5, and it was a very rough move because we moved north. So we moved far away from my grandmother and my father's side of the family to be closer to my mother's side. And I was able to connect with that side of the family as well. While we were in Thunder Bay, it's called, I got to learn a lot about different cultures. And my twin cousins were born very prematurely themselves, twins. And eventually we moved to a small town in Northern Ontario, but I had like bullying. I was the odd kid out. It was so obvious that I had all this trauma, and yet no one knew back then. I won't go into all the details. Suffice to say, I learned that friendship could really support my connection when I felt completely isolated. And so friends was what I kind of clung to. And my mother went back to school. So there was evenings where I would make a hot dog for dinner and be alone for hours. And I just kind of focused on TV and isolation. And I really internalized all of my loneliness and all of the pain that I'd already been through. So it was not the best middle age years, let's put it that way. And when we moved to this small town, I had already kind of established that friendship was what I needed to survive. So I made really close friends when we moved to the small town. But my stepfather also moved in with us and was verbally abusive and eventually physically abusive as well. I had never been around physical violence, so it was, other than my brother punching me and poking me, so it was pretty intense for me as a teenager, and there was a lot of depression, there was a lot of high-risk behaviors, and there was a lot of substance use in drinking. Strangely enough, I never used drugs in my teenage years because I thought that would prevent me. Somehow I had it in my head that that would prevent me from getting out of that small town. And like my mother before me, that's all I wanted, was to get the hell out of Dodge, basically. I had a relationship very young where I lived with him, and mostly it was to escape my mother's house. So again, very similar pattern. And when I went away to university, I got into even more substances and basically drank my face off until I dropped out and traveled west. Side note, before that, there was other traumas that happened, including sexual assaults. There was those twins that were born when I moved north. Their mother was murdered by her husband, and I was not there for it, as in there for with them, but I was there for them when afterwards it happened, and I became their support. So that was kind of like my first trauma counseling although I won't say I was a counselor, but that was my first experience supporting someone through trauma like that, as opposed to just helping my friends. Okay, so then I'm in my 20s and I'm using lots of substances. I traveled west. And when I say traveled, I mean I went west, lived with my brother. It was, I was very grateful for him, but also it was very horrible because I was having a lot of flashbacks to my childhood abuse and I wasn't in a good place. And I eventually moved to a little resort town and then I hitchhiked across the country with some friends that I made there. Remember, friends were like my connection. And my little brother, I missed him a lot and I missed my grandmother. So I moved back east. And now I'm in my mid-20s, don't have very good jobs, don't have a good education because I only had 2 years of university. And I eventually went back to school to take computers. At the time, my pull was to take social work, but I had people telling me that it was...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
It's funny that it was useless and wouldn't get me anywhere. So I took computers instead and went into high tech as a programmer, which wasn't what I took in school, but I was good at it because it's fixing things, right? Now I help people fix themselves, whereas back then I helped people fix their computers and I helped fix programs with a language. Funny. More traumas happened in there, and then eventually the traumas became people losing people, and it was grief. And I was in a very deep depression. I was taking care of my daughter, my oldest daughter, who I met when she was 4. And again, I was a rescuer. So I would sweep in and if someone needed support, it helped me avoid what I needed. So I would help people. So she was living with me. I was struggling and I completely isolated. And when I say completely isolated, I mean I completely isolated. I would go to work, but that would be about it. I would go to work. I cut off a lot of people I was close to, my friends even. And I remember there was like a day where I knew I wasn't going to get any better. And it was like do or die. So I was basically... I don't know if it was God I talked to or my spirit guides or my angels, or if it was just like knowing there was a deeper connection and that we were all connected. And I just kind of said, show me a way out of this or let me go. And I don't remember when it was, but it was almost instantly that I discovered there's 3 books that changed my life. There was You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. There was Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now, and Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. And I discovered them all like around the same time after doing this request to the universe to help me. And so I read those and it was like, I was reading something that made complete sense that I'd always known, but never had the words to articulate. Because I'd always been a helper. I'd always been spiritually connected. When I was in my teenage years, I messed around with like candles and, you know, so it kind of came naturally to me to be like, ah, this is it. I'm coming home. I'm finding my purpose. And I knew in that moment that I needed to pursue a supportive profession because I wasn't happy working in computers. And sure enough, I got laid off again. And at the time I was fostering my daughter. So I was taking these like little courses through university that would help me with lifespan development. It's a degree in lifespan development. It's called social developmental studies. So I was working towards that degree because I was getting paid a little bit extra through fostering, which helped us, not that I saved any money back then, but it helped us to continue on having the middle-class life that I wanted her to be raised in. And at the time that I got laid off, I was like so scared I was going to lose her. I wasn't going to be able to afford to keep her and to keep our house going the way it was. And I remember crying at work as they told me I was laid off, and then going home and being like, no, this is what I asked for. I asked for a change and this is it. So I basically, I might have smoked a joint. I might have had a glass of wine, but I basically said, thank you, universe. Show me the door and I will go through it. And thank you so much for backing me up on what I need to do. And then I discovered something led, doors opened, and I discovered the second career that put me through a college course. I was hoping it would put me through getting a bachelor in social work, but instead it got me through this 2-year social service worker program, which is basically a social worker at a college level for entry positions. And the first year, my teacher, my professor introduced me to addiction work, which I was like, no, I do not want to work in addictions. My foster daughter's mother is an addict and I cannot go there. It's too triggering. Not where I want to be. Plus it's all over my family. But she was like, Judy, I think you really should try it. So I did, and I loved it. And it was totally something that I connected with, and I was really good at it. And then she introduced me, this professor, by the way, a heart connection, although we've lost touch. I miss her. But that said, I got connected to the Satir Psychology Center. So fascinating story with this. I went, it was a workshop on parts. If anybody's familiar with parts work, I volunteered to be the guinea pig and I never do that. And I did. And I still use it today with clients. But in that work, I became really interested in going deeper. And the Janet, Christy Seeley was her name. And she asked me to be part of a family constellation workshop. So I did. And that was fascinating because I got to see how my family tree became the way they were and why my parents were the way they were and why I was the way I was, basically through the patterns that existed in my family. And I got to heal a lot of resentment and grief. Then that doctor, Christy Seeley, she did all these different modalities of therapy with me. And did it ever work? Like, she really helped me move forward. She also supported me one time. So I had applied for more schooling through university and I couldn't pay my tuition. I didn't have enough money yet. And she loaned me the money. I paid her back for my tuition at one point. Anyway, there is always synchronicities. And one of the synchronicities in that therapeutic process was that I discovered that that doctor had surgeon children. And one of the surgeons had been the one that had kind of botched my mother's. It had been the first in Canada attempt to do a smaller incision surgery to remove esophageal cancer tumor. So her son was that surgeon and she was my therapist, and hello, synchronicity, how the universe, everything's connected. I didn't ever hold any resentment and I actually never even talked to her about that. So I'm sure she knew, but I never told her that I knew. Okay, so there was that, as well as I went on after my college to take my Bachelor of Social Work because I could do it really fast. I fast-tracked because of all the education I had in the background and because of the experience I had. So the treatment home that I worked at hired me after doing just my first year in college placement. And then I was working for, I think that's when I worked for the crisis agency, which was an amazing experience. And I think every city should have one of these agencies. What they are is they have people that go to first respond to mental health crises in the community, as opposed to having police or the ER have to take them. And it really prevents a lot of that backup. And it really helps with the community. So anyway, side note on that. So I was doing nights. I was working 12 hours. I was really working my ass off, basically. And I think around that time, I also sold my house. And I was incorporating and integrating manifestation into my life regularly. So all this schooling, I was manifesting, I was requesting from the universe, bring me more, I want more, I want to do more, I want to be more. I want to be a therapist and I want to work with people with trauma and addictions, which I was doing a little bit of, but not a great deal of because I also had to like work my day job. So I sold my house. I found a new house in a small town because by that time I was, I think, 36, 37, and I had accepted that I'd always been told because of diabetes, because of PCOS, I was never going to have children of my own. I wouldn't be able to carry them. So I had pretty much accepted that. I moved to a small town where my daughter was living, my foster daughter, so that I could be closer to her. And because it was cheaper living and I could commute to both cities where I was working and going to school. Okay. At that time, I began to focus on manifesting proper health, and I wanted to cure my diabetes, my PCOS. That was also one of the goals I had done in the Satir Center when I did my family constellation. So within 3 years from the time of my constellation to then, I did it. I no longer had to take any of my diabetic medication. I was going to spin classes like 3 or 4 times a week. I was doing yoga. I was feeling really good. I'd gone to this Chinese doctor and drink this weird tea that was supposed to cure PCOS. And I discovered Vitex. Someday I'm going to do an episode just on Vitex. But basically Vitex helped with my PCOS to balance my hormones. So I was basically, my menses was regular and my body felt good. I had energy. I was sleeping good. But I was still struggling with that loneliness. I had really good friends. I'd maintained connections with family who treated me with respect. But I was still struggling. And there was a lot that I had still worked on healing. And it was at that time that I found Ho'oponopono, which I think I've already done an episode for, but if not, I will in the future again, because it's an amazing process. And so I did Ho'oponopono and I did all this forgiveness work, journaling, writing letters to people who I felt had injured me that I hadn't really released. And in doing so, one of the people was my, you're going to see where this is going because it's my current spouse. At the time in my 20s, when I had been a broken bird, he had also been a broken bird, and we had connected, and it had been so toxic and volatile, but so there was such a strong attraction and attachment. And I had such a broken heart when I let him go. But then I did this forgiveness stuff and I wondered, I wonder how he is. We reconnected, we hooked up. Then I found out that I was pregnant. And I remember I took 6 tests because I was like, there's no way this can't happen. It's not possible. She was born, I'm not going to get into details, someday I will, but she was born at 24 weeks, weighing 1.5 pounds. She was born in my bedpan because my call button was broken. So hello, another trauma. but it was also a miracle because she survived, and I knew because of signs that I was getting that she was going to be okay. And I just put out there, she is going to be okay. Instead of sitting at her NICU incubator and crying and feeling so lost and so alone, I reached out for support. I asked for Reiki. I asked for energy healing. I asked for prayers. And boy, did I get it. So I still think that she survived because of all the energy that was coming at her. because it was just meant to be. I would sit there and daydream about holding her in my arms at home and about her riding a bike and about her giggling and laughing. And today she's 10 years old and totally perfect. So we can manifest health. We can manifest love. We can manifest relationships. We can manifest jobs, education, financial help, abundance in every area. And so can our clients, because trauma is not about maintaining that identity of that is who we are. It's about becoming part of our healing journey as opposed to our stuckness or lack. So after that, fast forward a few years, I had manifested degrees to the point of I got my college education. And from that, I got my Bachelor of Social Work, my Bachelor of Social Developmental Studies. And then I went on and got my master's degree. And through all that, I had major, major positive experiences in education, placements, career jobs, that have made me who I am today. Some of them are ones that I would never want to go back into, like forensics or working with low barrier housing. Great experience to have. I understand and have empathy. Don't want to do it again. and I have major respect for those that do it on a daily basis and thrive in it. So, I also manifested all that with very little financial impact to me. And in fact, I ended up getting a grant from the government where all those degrees and all that education ended up costing me maybe the amount of one degree. So I was very blessed. I had childcare for the amount of, you know, less than what I pay for my coffee in a month now. And all of that was, you know, what I was asking for in support and care. And by the time COVID happened, my partner and I were together. So we ended up buying a house right before COVID and before the market went crazy, which again manifested. I sold my house for way over what I asked for, despite the fact that the real estate agent told me I would never get it. And then I thought I had reached that stage in my life where we're going through menopause. I was 45 and I told my spouse, I was like, this is it. Because we had talked about having other children and if it was even possible at our age. But it ended up being another pregnancy that Vitex carried me through. And I had her at 46 and she's now 3 and we have a house in the country. We have 2 amazing jobs. I have a private practice where I treat trauma and I'm manifesting the next level as we speak. This is what this podcast is about. My book is coming out soon. And I can't wait to see what's ahead of me because this is all behind me and look how amazing it has been. So that just means that there's even more amazing stuff to come. And that's what I always tell my clients is the level, it's the law of polarity. You went through all this negative stuff, so you know how positive it can be. Whereas those that kind of just trudge through life and nothing really major happens negative, nothing really major happens positive. And yet those of us that know there can be so complete darkness, we also know that we can experience the light. And that's the beauty of the law of polarity. It's the beauty of divine oneness that we're all connected. It's the beauty of the law of vibration and how we are always shifting and moving and changing. And it's the law of attraction that we can bring to us whatever we desire, whenever we feel it. Finally did it where I can be okay with this episode and talking about all the traumas I've went through and how I've discovered who I am and what I want and where I'm going, as with the universal principles and how it's led me into manifestation therapy. I hope I didn't bore you silly. And if you have any questions, please reach out. info@manifestationtherapy.com. Check out my website. Message me on Insta @manifestationtherapy. And be your best potential. Universal Principles in Supportive Practice. Thank you for listening.